Good afternoon and welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio. It's Friday, September 2nd. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who is taking a well-earned rest, actually coming back today. Check out his photos from Central Oregon on Facebook. He and Ann had a great time. Bill is here live weekdays at noon, or you can catch the live stream or access all the archives at buckmastershow.com. On Friday, Bill gives a shout-out to the Buckmaster Show media partners, which include TucsonSentinel.com, the Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, Tucson Local Media, and Tucson Weekly. You'll find all of those and more on his website. On our Friday Focus interview today is with two people from Pima County's Economic Development Office. We'll introduce you to them in a moment. If you have a question or a comment, call us at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Joining me later on in the show, it will be Dylan Smith. He's the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. We are with Heath, wouldn't you know it, he has a difficult last name and I screw up the first part, Heath Vescovi-Chiordi and Kelly Maslin from Pima County, and we are talking about economic development in our Friday Focus interview. And before our break, which we'll get to later on, is Bill's favorite time to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. We're going to get all of that. That's my favorite part of the show every time. But we've got these guys here joining us in studio. And Heath is the Pima County Economic Development Director. And Kelly is the Pima County Assistant Director for Strategic Affairs. Heath, you're relatively new to Pima County. Tell us about your job, how long you've been there, and what your background is.
Yeah, so thanks very much for having us. So I have been with Pima County Economic Development for just about 7 months now. So before that, I actually worked for the town of Marana in various capacities just for under a decade or so, and then was lucky enough to get this position. And effectively, as the director, I oversee all of the operations for economic development for Pima County. We're basically charged with creating a vision, implementing that vision, and increasing kind of the resiliency and the economy and creating a diverse opportunity for businesses to come here and grow and expand.
Okay, we're going to be digging into that vision in just a little bit. Kelly, how about you? What's your background?
Well, I moved to the Tucson area 23 years ago to run the Marana Chamber of Commerce, and have worked at Comcast, and most recently before I came to Pima County in January for ASU here in Tucson, in corporate and community engagement.
Okay, we spoke to you a few weeks ago in our newsroom, and I was really struck by the breadth of what the department does. And we talked about everything from, you know, drawing in new industries to affordable housing. And I was surprised that it's really not a big department. Heath, how many people are there? How do you set the priorities, and what are they?
Yeah, so our department is honestly very small, especially for the amount of people that we serve in a county of a million. So we do have four people within our department. It's myself as director, Kelly as the assistant director, and then Patrick Cavanaugh, who's a veteran of Pima County. He's been there for about 18 years now. He's the deputy director. And then we also have a senior staff assistant, Joanna Encinas, as well.
Okay, how about some of the priorities and how do you set them? Because with four people, you certainly can't get to everything.
Yeah, very true. And the great thing is that recently with Kelly coming on board, that's actually an additional person in the department compared to before. So before there was actually only three. Now we have four. So Kelly's added a lot of extra bandwidth for us. But the way that we set priority is actually set by policy, right? By the Board of Supervisors. So whatever their policy is, we are charged with implementing that and basically doing the administrative side. So we're the boots on the ground. We're the ones that are figuring out how to diversify the economy, how to attract businesses, how to help grow. And in doing that, we have to work with a lot of different collaborators throughout the region. So City of Tucson, Marana, Oro Valley, Sahuarita, of course, Green Valley, Vail, incorporated, unincorporated, and then a lot of private industry, as well as, you know, university, PCC, all Tucson Metro Chamber, and a lot more.
We can get to them a little bit more in depth now, but Kelly, what are a couple of things you're working on?
I do a lot of the external relations. So I work with the university, both ASU and U of A, the Chambers of Commerce, workforce development at Pima County to help business retention and expansion. So I'm kind of out in the community singing the praises of what we're doing within our office to help businesses grow.
I was talking to a few people and mentioning that you were going to be on the air here, and one recurring theme came up, and that is ask them how we have done coming out of the pandemic. I mean, what's kind of the damage report, Heath?
Yeah, so actually, we're very fortunate right now. So for quite some time, we were lagging on our recovery. But just about 2 days ago, actually, the Office of Economic Opportunity up at the state released new numbers. And so we're actually at 98.2% recovery from all the jobs that we lost during the pandemic. So we're very close back to that 100% mark. And I don't think that gives us the opportunity to sit and kind of rest on our laurels, right? I think now what we have to do is push past that 100% mark and start making some notable gains, right? And so what we want to do is make those gains in areas that we are going to be focusing on that are resilient, right, to these types of recessions and things that effectively reduce the amount of jobs that we have. So now, honestly, is the time to hit the pedal to the metal and really do some work in attraction and expansion.
So the 98.2 means that we're at almost the same workforce that we were before?
Correct. The amount of jobs filled in the region.
Okay. And which industries were hit hardest? And we know, by the way, I know we're going to talk about restaurants here, but restaurants open and close all the time. I mean, it's just kind of the nature of the industry. But include those if that's what were hit the hardest. But who particularly really took it?
Yeah. So, you know, retail did take it pretty significantly. Restaurants did. Leisure and hospitality, obviously, were significantly affected as well. And then we saw something that has been mystifying, and that's the professional services area. So those are things like human resources, financial services, legal services, things like that. They took a pretty hard hit as well, and they took quite some time to rebound. And I think there are obvious reasons for why these areas took hits, right? People weren't going out, so they weren't going to restaurants. It just wasn't in the cards. People weren't traveling, so leisure and hospitality took a hit. That professional services one, though, it is still mystifying to this day, honestly. So we're actually working internally. That's something that Patrick has been working on, is figuring out the genesis of that and then how we've gotten to 98.2 right now, because we haven't seen any notable businesses leave in a significant fashion in professional services, but we also haven't seen any specific gains in that area as well.
Kelly, what are some lessons we've learned in the pandemic?
Oh, there are many lessons.
Right, definitely.
And, you know, it's we look back on some of the decisions that were made nationwide related to the pandemic. And I think that as a nation, we had to do what we knew at the time. I think that Pima County, we're working through this on the Small Business Commission to kind of analyze what the decisions were that Pima County made and how they impacted businesses. And looking at if this happened again, what different decisions could be made. I think that there's a lot of opportunities to do things in a different way.
Okay, so I'm going to put my words and interpret what you just said. There were some screw-ups, and we could do better next time. What did we screw up?
Well, I think it wasn't necessarily screw-ups. I think it was the information that we had at the time. And,
sure,
you know, the CDC kept changing their decisions, their positions, and none of us had been through a pandemic before, so we were just doing what we knew, what the CDC said. So I think that going forward, that we have more of a basis on what a pandemic looks like and how it reacted within the community and things we can do to be safer, to maybe not have as many closures in the future for businesses, because it really did impact small businesses significantly, and nobody likes to see that.
And it really was not a one-size-fits-all pandemic. And we know that a lot of the reporting comes off the East Coast for the nation, mm-hmm. and New York, of course, is a complete mess. And that gave a sense that everybody else was a complete mess. Not that this didn't touch every community in America, but it seemed that some decisions were being made because New York is a mess.
I think that, you know, Arizona as a whole, you know, some of the decisions that were made through the governor's office, you know, when you look at rural, like Ajo isn't the same as Tucson, isn't the same as Phoenix. So I think that, you know, when the governor made statewide decisions, it really impacted how communities reacted on their own. And maybe in the future, there could be more leeway within those communities to make decisions on their own.
And Heath, the governments did step in and help businesses with some loans, some that didn't have to be paid back. And regardless of what your politics may be, there are a lot of people who believe that without a lot of that assistance, we would be in a lot more trouble today.
I would agree across the board. I think those PPP loans, the forgivable ones specifically, certainly helped a lot of small businesses. You know, I frequent small businesses within the community, and even in my role before, you know, when I was in the, at the town of Marana, I was speaking with them about the effect that the loans had on them and how they could get loans, and if I knew how to help them get loans and all that. And it really did, honestly, whether it was $10,000 or $100,000 for a small business, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 can float you for a minute, right? But sometimes that's the difference between opening and closing, is just that little bit of time. So I think there are a lot of people that are thankful for that out there, you know, and I think they're, you know, again, like you said, politics aside, it is helpful and it has been helpful. And so we're seeing the effects of that. And I think we're in a better position now for it.
We were actually running stories that were telling small businesses in our community, because we were getting tons of calls. Okay, here's how you do it.
Yeah.
Yes, you are qualified for this money. Reach out and grab it. And because a lot of them just didn't know what to do, you know, barbershops closing their doors and restaurants and everything. And it was a lifeline for a lot of people, I think. Your 98.2 figure is really interesting to me, because a lot of businesses today are still looking for workers. This whole great resignation thing, I'm still wondering how people cannot work and still pay their bills. That to me is the great mystery in all this. But where did everybody go? And is it your job to lure them back to the workforce?
Yeah, so not a lot of people went anywhere necessarily, right? So remote work during COVID and as a result of COVID has changed the landscape, right, of how a lot of people can do their jobs and specific jobs. Not all jobs can be done remotely. And so there's a reconciliation, right, between what you can do remotely and what you can't. Again, that professional services area is mystifying, and it's going to continue to be until we figure it out. And we're working with the U of A on that and a few other groups. But I think overall, you know, what we've seen as we've come out of the pandemic, you know, quote unquote, come out, is that a lot of areas, because of loans with PPP and because of CARES fund money and because of ARPA and the IIJA, you know, those businesses, those resilient businesses like manufacturing and aviation and aerospace, those things are coming back. And so that's where a lot of our gains have actually come from recently, is manufacturing, aviation, aerospace, and then again, leisure and hospitality. So not a lot of people left, but we have seen a lot of people come here, right? That's another thing to take into consideration, is that a lot of people have moved from California. They've moved their businesses here. They have just moved their people here. And that has helped with our recovery to a certain extent as well. So yes, it is our job actually to engage in talent attraction and to get people to move here. But it's also meant to be, there has to be a balance stricken, because we also want to provide opportunity for those that are here right now. So that is kind of what we're in the business of figuring out what that balance is and how we can make that a reality.
Why do we still see so many of these hiring signs out there then? I mean, what is there a specific industry that is not able to draw people back in? Is it?
It's every single industry,
yes,
honestly.
Yes.
It is quite literally across the board, large industry, small businesses, retail, finance, everything, commercial, industrial, whatever you're looking at, whether you're an engineer or whether you're flipping a burger, right? Everybody is having trouble finding people.
Okay. We are with Heath Vescovi-Chiordi and Kelly Mazin from Pima County talking about economic development in our Friday Focus interview. And this is the time for Mona's Danish Bakery. That's the place everybody's talking about. Mona's on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's Danish Bakery is open for breakfast, lunch with indoor and patio dining. And it's a great time of year to start getting outside. Online orders, pickup are welcome. Mona's, northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village studio. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill, and you are listening to the Buckmaster Show. I'm with Pima County's Heath Vescovi-Chiordi, Director of Economic Development, and Kelly Maslin. She is the Assistant Director of Strategic Affairs, and I know the strategic planning process is underway. Heath, what exactly does that mean, and what are we going to see on the other end?
Yeah, so hopefully what we'll see on the end is a strategic plan that we can, well, that first and foremost, I think, is focused, right, and plays to our strengths and has identified weaknesses and areas where we can improve, but it's going to be a focused plan for us. So we will have a strategy that we can actually implement, which is something I'm very excited about. With a smaller department, right, you have to have focus because we can't have 100 different things for three of us to do. It's just not feasible. So we want to make sure that what we're doing very, very well. So currently the plan process is underway. We did hire a third-party consultant to help facilitate the entire process. They've been doing a phenomenal job of bringing people together. We've had a series of meetings, both group and individual one-on-ones that they're conducting. And effectively what we're doing is we're kind of taking the pulse, right, on what's happening on economic development throughout the throughout the organization and also throughout the region. And then we're going to look at that and put it against some data. And so we're going to use data to inform what people are saying, and then we're going to use that to create a plan, right, that has a strategy that we can actually execute.
So, Kelly, what is Pima County good at, and what are we not good at?
We are good at everything. You know, we're really good in certain sectors. You know, we have aerospace, biomedical, and manufacturing, and some of those things. And these have been consistently been identified over the years, whether it's through City of Tucson or Marana Logistics is another big one, that those are the types of businesses that want to come here because those are the types of businesses that are already here. They want to co-locate with other similar businesses. So I think what we're going to find out through the strategic plan, if there's other opportunities and other industries that might want to move here, and like Worldview, for instance, that's a space. And U of A is really focusing through its new economy initiatives on space. And there's so much opportunity with NASA right now ramping up to eventually go to Mars. And how can we capitalize on that industry even more and bring more of that talent and industry to the region?
Do we have an educated workforce that can handle maybe some of the requests that might come our way, Heath?
We do. And so that's one of the wonderful kind of collaborations among, you know, several different, you know, people within the region. So University of Arizona, obviously top-notch research and development, and they crank out engineers like nobody's business, and they're very well trained. Obviously, ASU has a lot of engineering students as well, and so we can pull from them if we need to. JTED is a wonderful opportunity for young people to figure out what they want to do in career and technical education areas, see what fits them, see what fits their vibe, basically, and see if we can get them into a career. And then the real hero for me recently has been PCC. So Pima Community College has done a wonderful job with their centers of excellence and really the training that they can offer for not only individual industries, but also individual employers. So if there's an employer in manufacturing, let's say, and they have a proprietary technology or a machine or something that they need work, that people need to work on, PCC can actually work directly with that employer to take a training and specify it and make it perfect for what they need and for those workers. So we do have the workforce. There's also a lot of people that are not in the workforce that are eligible to, that can actually work. And so part of that talent attraction that you mentioned earlier, pulling from other markets, it's also about growing the ones that we have here.
Okay, so not everybody needs a four-year degree.
No, not necessarily. Certifications, trainings, micro pathways, those things that PCC offer, in addition to the traditional pathways, if you will, have really made Pima Community College, really our whole region and our workforce, a pretty lean, mean fighting machine at this point.
Well, Pima County is a cheaper place to set up a business than Maricopa County, and you and I've talked about this. Is that really helping us out, though?
It is. From a cost competitiveness standpoint, it absolutely does. I mean, when you are a business and you're looking to locate or expand, you are looking at a bottom line, right? So if land is $2 million cheaper or whatever it looks like, you are going to look at those a little bit more, you know, specifically and with a little bit more scrutiny, because it's one element, it's one factor of a vast array of factors that they have to take into consideration.
Well, this isn't exactly in your wheelhouse, but we need to keep housing affordable so we can keep workers around. And it's starting to, rents are certainly starting to spike here, certainly nothing like Maricopa County. But what is your department's role, if any, in securing affordable housing in this area?
So, I mean, really, it's minimal, to be perfectly honest. That's not necessarily in our wheelhouse. It is within our community and workforce development department, though, and obviously our supervisors have a focus on it as well. So I think they're taking active steps to, you know, addressing that issue in whatever way we can. Another valuable partner that we're exploring opportunities with when it comes to affordable housing is the Pima County IDA, the Industrial Development Authority. They offer opportunities through some of their affiliate partners as well. So we're looking at all options right now. And I guess, you know, for us, it's really a consultant, you know, kind of phase for us, because people need to know what the workers are doing, where they're going, where they're located. And so we can assist with that type of knowledge that might inform where affordable housing might go. But it's really in other people's wheelhouse at this point.
Kelly, communication among businesses seems to be a recurring theme in what your department is doing. Has that not just been happening up to this point?
I think because there was such a limited staff in the Economic Development Department before, that it wasn't, that they didn't have the bandwidth to do as much communication. Before I took this job, I was on the Tucson Metro Chamber Board. I was involved with Southern Arizona Leadership Council. So I have a lot of those business connections already. And just developing those in a different position than I am now and working with them, I've heard over the last 8, 9, 10 years what businesses need and want, and I think that helps our department work better with businesses. We also have a small business commission that is small but mighty, and we are working to create stronger policies within Pima County that will help small businesses.
Are chambers of commerce passe? Are they kind of yesterday, or are they real vibrant and actually helping businesses? And we do see that down in our area where it's businesses helping businesses, and it seems to be working out. But I've seen other chambers that just appear to be, you know, on life support, quite honestly. Do they really have a role in boosting local commerce or supporting businesses, Kelly?
Well, as someone who worked at a chamber of commerce before, and I've been involved with all of the chambers over the last 23 years, they definitely have a role in this community. I think they're very strong advocates for businesses with the municipalities and the governments, but they also are great at those business-to-business connections, because I think a lot of businesses don't know where to start, and traditionally chambers of commerce have been that place to go to. So they go, they meet other businesses, and that helps grow their business.
Heath, you mentioned universities earlier, and what is the partnership look like, and what do the universities do that can help us out as far as economic development go? Because most people think universities, they're educating students to go off and do what they want to do, but actually there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, there is. So for us, it's an ever-evolving partnership, right? So it's identifying what the strengths are and what the weaknesses that currently exist, but I think there are many ways that they help with economic development. I mean, number one, the University of Arizona is in and of itself an economic engine because of the amount of money that goes into it, especially on the R&D side. There is a significant and very robust ecosystem for startup development and commercialization of technology and ideas and everything through the Tech Park, through Tech Launch Arizona, through UACI, UARC, Forge, you name it. You know, and so that honestly kind of operates at the core of creating and starting businesses and taking them from point A to point Z to make sure that they're successful. And then obviously an educated workforce is going to be a very powerful workforce, but there's a balance to strike, right? So when you're at the University of Arizona or even PCC or whatever it looks like, you may graduate and you may go somewhere else. But Tucson, I think, has a culture that is unparalleled, you know, across the region, even honestly across the Southwest. And a lot of people love being here. And I think that that, you know, feeling of this being home is a reason why a lot of people stay. It's because the opportunity, it's because the lifestyle, it's all of those things that kind of coalesce into saying or making people say, I really want to stay in Tucson. People also always come back to Tucson, which I've heard a lot of. You know, they might leave for a few years, but Tucson is home to a lot of people. And I think invariably they always come back.
Okay, let me put you between a rock and a hard place here for a moment. Pima County has openly opposed the Rosemont Mining Project and the Santa Ritas, yet it will bring jobs, it'll feed other industries, it'll drive some of what we want to see. How do you as a department handle something like this? Do you support their efforts, or do you bow to the will of the supervisors, which earlier you said that you basically take your marching orders from them? How do you handle something like a Rosemont?
Yeah, so, you know, in all honesty, I mean, again, it goes back to striking that balance, right? So we are not in the position to be, you know, actively saying we oppose or we're for something like that. It's really just not our responsibility. And so that might sound like kind of a cop-out, but it actually is kind of the thing that makes the most sense, simply because we understand that there are so many different elements that we have to take into consideration when attracting and seeing businesses expand. So what we will try to do is facilitate things from an economic standpoint. That's the long and short of it for us to a certain extent. Do we have to be mindful about these things that affect our environment, affect natural resources? Absolutely. But we are just one department of many throughout the county, right? And so there are ways that we can support. There are also ways that we are just not involved, but other departments get involved in certain ways. So for whatever our capacity is, you know, it's basically saying, will this create jobs? Will it help expand jobs? Will it help with supply chain? All these things. And to be perfectly honest, it probably will. So it's a positive thing from an economic development standpoint.
Okay, about 3 years ago, Arizona started enforcing a sales tax on out-of-state and online businesses, and this has brought in millions of dollars to the state. Does the county see any of that, and what are we doing with it?
I think in tangential ways, yeah. So, you know, Pima County is, you know, primarily funded through property tax, right?
Right.
We're not like City of Tucson, Marana, Oro Valley. Those are sales tax-based funding. But I think that we do see it to a certain extent through probably state shared revenues and things like that. And so it really just depends on the way that that money is funneled down to the county and then how that is, you know, organized and allocated throughout all the departments. So the way that we see it is you see it in the day-to-day operations across every single department with the services that the county offer for the public, as well as the services that the cities and the towns provide as well. So could I cite a specific thing and say, yeah, we had $1 of sales tax that came from, you know, online sales and we used it for this thing? Not specifically, but You know, you see it in the roads, you see it in the care, and you see it in flood control and all the things that you don't see every single day.
The more we go digital, the more likely we are to see empty buildings because we won't have as many retail. We know that more workers are working from home remotely. So what's the best use for an empty big box store? And other than being a catalyst for blight, it seems like we're going to be seeing a lot more empty buildings, Kelly.
Well, you know, I live near Foothills Mall, so talk about an empty building. Mm-hmm. And I love what Don Bourne's plans are to revitalize that area into an entertainment center. You know, you have the movie theater there, the country bar is there. There's plans for hotels. And I think in Oro Valley, with their Oro Valley Marketplace, they're looking at some of those similar plans to redo that with the empty stores that they have there, where they want to have hotels and kind of a mixed-use development rather than just a mall. And I think there's lots of opportunities to relook at how stores are attracting people and ways that you can create a space where there are built-in customers with apartments and hotels that can shop at those stores as well.
Okay, well, the time goes by way too quickly. Our thanks to Heath Vescovi-Chiordi and Kelly Maslin. Where's the best place, Heath, for listeners to find out more about what's up with the county as far as economic development goes?
If you go to www.pima.gov, go under government, and then go under economic development, and we have an entire page dedicated to the things that we're doing. We also have a LinkedIn if people want to follow that as well, Pima County Economic Development. It's our page, so we post updates there, and we're going to slowly grow our website presence as well. We are actually adopting a whole new website, so hopefully this coming April, you'll see a brand new, refreshed, and very versatile and utilitarian website from us.
Very good. A very busy department in Pima County. We really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thank you
so
much.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, this is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village studio, and you are always invited to join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. When we return, we're going to launch into the Friday Roundtable with Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Listen. The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our Friday roundtable, and we have Dylan Smith. He's the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, how are you doing? He's going to be there in a minute. I can tell you this, though, until we get him on the air, that it has been a long week in Southern Arizona journalism with a horrific attack at the Tucson apartment complex on the constable and those who died there. Dylan's team has done terrific work on that story, and we've all had a piece in it. The funeral was actually yesterday. There's a lot more to come on that story, and we're going to get an update from Dylan on that. Dylan, you there?
Indeed I am. How are you?
Very good. So I was just talking a little bit about the long week in journalism and the attack at the apartment complex. And yesterday, of course, was the funeral. So your team has done great work on that. What's to come? You there? Yeah. Okay. Well,
I lost you for a second there, Dan.
There he is. Okay.
I missed your, I heard your lead in, but I missed your question.
Yeah. It's just, there's a lot more to come on this story, isn't there? About the constable.
Certainly. There are, you know, issues, within the constable's office, perhaps, wider issues, with the relationship between, that office and Pima County, as far as, some of the training issues, equipment issues, and we certainly shouldn't forget about the two other innocent victims in that terrible crime as well. So there's a whole lot more to dig into and learn, and maybe, you know, at the very least, use this horrible incident to prompt a few changes that are necessary.
And the Board of Supervisors had already been considering some changes there. They were actually going to dump one precinct, so one constable position. And there's always been questions about what deputies or police should handle versus constables. And this is certainly just going to fire up that conversation even more.
Indeed, this is an incident where it was known beforehand that there had been threats, the potential for some violence, and perhaps it wasn't known, you know, widely enough, especially to the constables, about, you know, what they might face going into this, what Deborah Martinez might face showing up to knock on that door and hand someone an eviction notice.
Right, absolutely. And so we'll see as this continues to roll out. But yesterday was for the family, and then, as you pointed out, two other victims in that that awful event. So we will see how this plays out going forward. But again, long week for a lot of people. Going forward, what are you guys working on in the Tucson Sentinel newsroom? I know you have a couple of things.
Well, as I mentioned, we're you know, digging into some of the issues raised by this terrible, deadly incident with the eviction notice. We're also taking a good look at there's not really much development. We learned last week, the same day as this the shooting in which the constable and two others were killed, and then the gunman killed himself. We learned that the former TPD officer Ryan Remington had been indicted and would face charges in the shooting of a man who had allegedly shoplifted and threatened someone on Tucson's south side. And he was arraigned yesterday, which is, you know, kind of one of the very first steps in the court process. That this is going to take a long time to develop. I can't imagine a trial being held until, you know, next year at the very earliest. But it's an opportunity to, you know, teach some folks about how the legal process works and why some of these things do take so much time. And we're going to try and dig in and explain that a little bit as well.
And, you know, that's a really good point, because we see it a lot, particularly in our business, that something happens and then people instantly take a side before all the facts are rolled out, the reports are turned in, before really any all of the information is out there, and then people choose sides, and then they're really arguing from a point of ignorance because we just simply don't have all the facts yet. And when we insist on slowing things down, waiting till certain reports and information is in, people sometimes get angry flat out at that type of behavior on our part. But this is what we traffic in, is the facts, and sometimes you have to be patient.
Well, and conversely, it's our job to make sure those facts come out as quickly as they possibly can, and that they are not covered up and swept under the rug and forgotten about because of the passage of time. So it's kind of, you know, a balancing act. There are certain there are reasons some things, especially as things move through the courts, whether it's a criminal case or a civil case, there's, you know, due process, and things quite often do not happen as fast as some people might want. But there are other situations where, you know, whether it's the government or private business, they try and make things go away just by hoping people forget about them. It's our job to keep pushing to make sure that information does come out.
Yeah, definitely. And that's one of the raps sometimes on the media, and it's been ever since I've been involved in it, and that's not following up on stories. And we have what we used to call the tickler file, which is, you know, just go back and revisit that, look at what, you know, you reported on before, does it need follow-up, et cetera. So there's going to be a lot of that with the constable story, and so many facets to that. And then, as you mentioned, the officer, who actually, as I recall, was working off-duty at Home Depot, and there is video of that, and still a lot of questions to be answered, though. So,
you're very right about that tickler file, and circling back, and that was right at the Remington case was right at the top of our list of things to go give people a nudge on and see what might be happening, and then we learned that indeed there had been an indictment.
Definitely. There's so we're between the primary and the general election here. And, you know, my favorite time of year and my least favorite time of year is election season, and for obvious reasons. But I just want to pick one race right here, and you can certainly add to it if you have others. But Blake Masters, it's very interesting that a lot of his website has been toned down and changed under the direction of the National Republicans, who think maybe he was coming on a little bit too strong and was, you know, he's appeased the base already with the primary. He got through that and did well. But now I think some people are maybe seeing him on the ropes a little bit versus Mark Kelly.
Well, certainly it's a long-standing political strategy to, you know, appeal to your base. If you're a Republican, run to the right in the primary. If you're a Democrat, run a little bit to the left in the primary.
Yeah.
And then to kind of tack back to the center so that you can, you know, pull aboard some of those, you know, people in the middle who you actually need to win a general election. But Masters is among the cohort of Republicans across the country who went very, very, very hard right. And even beyond on some issues, you know, his calling for a, you know, constitutional personhood amendment that would completely ban all abortions nationwide is something that has gone down the Orwellian memory hole as far as his website goes. And you got a lot of other Republicans who have, you know, even if they didn't start out quite as hardcore as Masters, they're very much dialing back from claiming public associations with Donald Trump. You know, they're pulling off, you know, from their websites, their social media, the fact that they were endorsed by Trump.
Without
you know, it's a different sort of trying to move back to the center.
Definitely. Dylan, we have Mike on the line. He has a quick question for you. We've just got about a minute left. Mike, what's your question for Dylan?
Sure. I wonder if Dylan or anybody else in the media in this town will ask the mayor why she couldn't be bothered to attend the funeral yesterday.
Dylan, have any idea about that? This person is saying that the mayor did not attend the funeral. I do not know whether that is the case.
Well, I wasn't there myself, actually, but we did have a couple of reporters there. I didn't hear them mention her. Certainly, the next time I bump into the mayor, I could raise that question.
Okay, very good. And that is going to wrap it up for us on our Friday roundtable. Thank you to Dylan Smith. You can follow all his good work at TucsonSentinel.com. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village studio with Matt Russell to help you plan your long weekend. Don't forget, our live line is made possible by the professionals over at Rincon Venture Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
And it's time for the Weekend Watch. It's a great way to plan your next couple of days. Actually, 3 days. It's Labor Day weekend, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Find out more about what to do, where to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. And is that Matt Russell on the line?
It is. You know, I'm ready to do a little detaching. You mentioned 3-day weekend. So let's just start right now. What do you say?
I'm all for it. We were actually talking off the air with the economic development people over at Pima County. One had been in news before, so understands that there really is no three-day weekend for news people. But for those who have normal jobs, give us some tips.
Absolutely. Well, you know, HOCO Fest is all the buzz this weekend. This is the annual festival hosted by Hotel Congress, which effectively dominates downtown Tucson for all of Labor Day weekend. They've got musical performances and DJ entertainment, a series of panel discussions, regional vendors, and more. And you can get into the swing of this season at their special happy hour tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. You're going to enjoy drink specials and complimentary samples. That means free, Dan, from their sponsors.
You know me.
Mezcal, tequila, all that good stuff. It's going to wet your whistle the right way. It's HOCO Fest all weekend long.
Hey, so I got to ask you, as someone who's not into the scene, you know this, but I pretend I am sometimes. HOCO, is that new, or is that Hotel Congress always been referred to that way?
You know, it's just for those of us on the inside, I will need a little forgiveness for you, but come out sometime. Join me downtown. Yeah, HOCO is a thing, and this annual festival is absolutely a thing.
Very good. It sounds terrific, actually. Okay, so what else we have?
Well, you know, one neighborhood just ain't enough for a community our size. Dan, I'm thrilled to announce the grand opening of the Neighborhood Bar and Grill's newest location on Congress Street tomorrow at 11 a.m. Now, their original location over there on 29th and Alverdon, they were bursting at the seams, what with their famous burgers and tacos. A lot of people think they have Tucson's best Michelada. So this expansion was certainly expected. But check this out. They're going to be giving a free burger, there I go again, a free burger to everyone who shows up at their new location tomorrow from 11 to 3. That certainly got my attention. The neighborhood just got bigger, and with free burgers to boot, they should definitely be on your weekend calendar.
I think you're going to have to repeat that. A free burger between, 11 and 3 tomorrow?
Yeah, free burgers for everybody that shows up at their new location on Congress tomorrow. Absolutely.
Are you seeing a potential?
Make this stuff up, then.
You never do. You're the most honest person on this on the show. That is, that's almost like a disaster in the making. What if half the town shows up?
Maybe I should have given them advance notice that I was going to be on the Shearer show today talking about that.
And he fixates on hamburgers. So that is sounds like a terrific deal. And you know what? It's always great to see good organizations expanding. And that's exactly what's going on with the neighborhood. So
that's the truth.
What else we have going?
Well, you know, for me, it's wheels up tomorrow. I'm going to be headed to Nevada to judge the nation's biggest barbecue rib competition. But if I were home this Labor Day weekend, I'd surely be sniffing out some local ribs of my own. One option, Dan, is Kiss of Smoke. Now, these guys are a true competition-style crew over there on South Plummer, but they only do ribs on Fridays. So swing by today to rack up for the weekend. I also like the ribs at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue on 22nd Street. These are smoked in the Louisville tradition where pitmaster and proprietor Ken Alexander grew up. There are so many great rib joints around town, so I say leave the smoking to someone else and relax on Labor Day weekend with some righteous racks.
Well, as always, Matt, you give us some great ideas, and you're certainly making the new EGs in Sarita just pale in comparison, even though we are super excited about it. We are super, the lines around the building just to get that stuff.
I can imagine. Flavor of the month, baby.
Okay, so HOCO Fest happy hour, grand opening of the neighborhood's new downtown location, and then lots of other barbecue ideas from Matt Russell. And as always, you have a good trip tomorrow, and thank you for your input. You are invaluable.
Oh, cheers, brother. Thanks for everything.
Okay, that is going to wind it up for us here on the Buckmaster Show. We had a great show earlier today with our guests Heath and Kelly. All sorts of things going on in Pima County as far as economic development goes, and you can listen to that show again or send it off to friends. It's archived at buckmastershow.com. And on Fridays, Bill likes to throw a little reminder out there that the Buckmaster radio program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to faithful Buckmaster assistant Rosemary Brandt, producer engineers John Couch and Tom Fairbanks. And Tom was behind the glass today. Thanks, Tom. And the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson. You have a wonderful Labor Day weekend. Hope you get some rest.